Blog Talk Radio.
I and I will stand up and fight for all rights. I and I will find a way to survive. Not an easy way out, easy way out. Fighting to be free. It's not an easy way out, easy way out. Trapped in society.
telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm, patient time must be that we are cool off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it is Sunday night, and we are here at the Ethiopian Royal Federation Commerce Incorporated, Local 26. It is the Women's Auxiliary. It is here with the beautiful, the most intelligent, the most elegant, the most host with the most, the host with the most, that's right. She got more information that you require. And the truth shall be set free. Or you should set the truth should set you free. Either one, whatever it is, we're here with the lovely, intelligent, the most informative, Mrs. Sadie Gomez. Let's give a nice hand and welcome her into the studio.
My wonderful. Thank you so very much, Dr. Robinson, my wonderful co-host, who gives me all these wonderful hats to fill, and on Sundays I have no choice but to fill them and not disappoint. It is City Sundays, it is your Sundays, and of course it is the Women's Auxiliary of the Local 26 of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. And I am inviting all my women to come on from the various women auxiliary to know that this show is your show. It's where the platform is here for you to voice your opinions. And of course, as my co-host said, what we do, we tell the truth. And for those who are coming in and don't know what we do, because, you know, the family is growing, and of course we like to let everyone know, on Sundays, for the Women Auxiliary of Local 26, a wonderful platform where we can exercise our voice. But what we do here, we look at things that are normally swept under the rug, we take it out and we examine it, and of course sometimes we gently put it back. But what we do most of all, we talk the truth. So whatever you want to express here, you want to come on here with, because it's your show too. You give a voice, you bring your opinions, you feel free. It's a safe and wonderful platform to be, but it's the truth. We're going to deal with on this side of town, and we appreciate it. Each one teaches one, and we learn. And of course, there's always something so exciting. There's an exciting time that we are living in, an exciting time for the news, and of course, where the truth has prevailed, it's part of what we're going to talk about on a real large scale. So one of our major topics this evening, and of course for those of us in the family who know how we talk, we're going from A to Z and everything else in between. But here we are starting, and we know that some events took place this week. Mainly we talk about the events that take place this week, of course, and of course for the Ethiopian World Federation, of which, you know, we stand as ambassadors. We bring everything Ethiopia, Africa. We love to bring it on this side of town because we know how important it is for we, the black people of the world, and again, getting and gaining more importance, that we should come together, we should unify, centralize, I mean, all these very good things. But the time is coming where the choice will be survival. That will be the word. But we go on for this evening. It's, as I said, a wonderful Sunday evening here. We are talking about what happened recently. We see that there was the Baltimore Bridge crash or something thereof, because, of course, you know, my wonderful studio audience, who is so very wise and intelligent, who helps along as well to bring the intelligence and the information to the show. And as part of the family of the Ethiopian Rose Federation and, of course, Local 26, the Women Auxiliary, we've been keeping this thing live and alive over 6 years and counting. So we are talking, again, the Baltimore Bridge, what really happened within that collapse, how it's going to affect us. We are going to talk also on another really heated topic that seems to be a major distraction, but what is going on with P. Diddy, or Puff Daddy, as some of us know him, but a great radio and personality, TV personality. He's in the movies, he's all over the place. He was famous for keeping these all-white parties, of which now we know a lot of questionable things went on there. So our studio audience is some of the things we are going to talk about to weigh in on what is really going on. But more importantly as well, we see that the Russian president, Mr. Putin, Vladdy, you know, I would like to affectionately call him because that's my boy, you know, that's Vladdy. Vladimir decided that he's going to expose from the vault information that has been held for over 400 years to show that the black people of the world, and especially the black people of America, are in fact the true Hebrew Israelites. And he has pictures showing that Jesus Christ, Mary, the mother, the disciples, Moses, and basically the Bible story, which is our story, everyone in there was black. So there was a big whitewashing of characters. But this is factual information. A few skeptics want to say over the years maybe the paintings grew black. But that was quickly dismissed because Africa is not having it. Africa was waiting for this 400 years to be over and didn't know something that had set them free. Of course, something that has set us free. And here it is, as this is really the more important topic of the evening, where I'm hoping that some of our EWF people would have joined in as well, seeing that now that this exposure has taken place, it's not overnight it's going to have a change, because it would take maybe a few months, I hope it's not years, but definitely a few months for this to sink in as to really who black people are. Now, some of us would have already known who we are because we would have already carried ourselves differently, because we would have recognized and learned along the way that we were in fact the kings and queens of the earth. But whitewashing and brainwashing has taken place, obviously, and of course, a lot of Africa has been deprived of such a knowledge. I often say on the show, and I make no apologies, I thank God for the rest of people who have often came from the Caribbean, and in the Caribbean, they was telling you many years since I grew up, but you know, as many years, if I only tell you how long, then you start calculating my age and everything, but you know how it is on Sundays, but we talk the truth. But this is over like 50 years or more. I grew up knowing, because Rasta people is telling you, Jesus is not white. That white man, they would tear it down. They would burn a fire. They would tell you about Queen Elizabeth, and they call her Elizabeth. You know, they knew, and they tell us, and they help us understand. Since, you know, some reason, most of my older cousins, they were Rastafarians. So I grew up in that type of environment, in that black power kind of understanding. So basically, things black and things Africa, we knew from since we were yay high. We knew. We knew so much about and understood blackness and what it means as an image. We were not allowed to play with white dolls because, you know, it was that type of blackness. And people say, what's an image? Yeah, there's plenty in an image. Our little black children need to play with black dollies and understand the beauty and joy of your black self. We are celebrating blackness today. Well, I mean, every day, of course. There's no Black History Month, you know, there's Black History Days, and that's how we do it. But, of course, if you know what it is. You know what show this is. It's your show, and this is how we talk in this tongue. We do it really straight And of course, it's a safe platform. You told the truth, it will set you free. But we understand now what President Putin is saying. This will cause an awareness within the black race, the black people. As I said, it's not going to sink in tomorrow. I hope it does not take years. But we, the black people of the world, our preamble as the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, we have to seize this opportunity to grab the ears of the audience that's out there. We are strongly on a membership drive. We have a lot of what street would say, clout to go on. We have some ammunition to ride on. But we have already had that preamble as we, the black people of the world, loving it and knowing it and feeling happy and celebrating it. So here we are, knowing and understanding what time it is. And for my listening audience, you know, you would get the time to join into the show. It's also your show. But we just want to let you know what the atmosphere is going to be like for this evening. Of course, we go into many different, you know, areas as we continue. We also want to know and let everyone know, for those of us within the Federation, that our elections are coming soon. It's in July. It's coming real soon before you know it. But, you know, here we are as members of Local 26. As you are listening, we'll keep you informed for what is going on and if there's any fundraisers or events that we need to know. And other members of the Federation are also listening on. They can chime in and give us information as well. So here we are again, a Sunday evening, a wonderful Sunday evening. This is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated coming to you live and alive on this wonderful Sunday evening. Let me ask Dr. Robinson, how's the studio audience looking?
Yes, we can open up 618-960.
618-960, your mic is open. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm good.
There's so much happening in the world. I don't even know where to begin. So much happening all at once. And it's grabbing you in each and every way. But I will say Putin's situation really caught me off guard. And I don't know how to put it. My feelings are all over the place about it. About what they opened up in this vote. But I'm excited for what's to come. I know people are still in disbelief, and it's a war of the mental right now, so people don't really know what's real and what's fake. But I'm excited. I think it's awakening. It's an awakening moment. And you know, this is something we've waited for so many years, for so long. So I'm very happy to be here to witness all of it. So it's an exciting time for me.
I would say as well, you know, wonderful princess, it's a very exciting time for me as well. I kind of almost waited a long time to hear this as well. I can share with my audience that about 20 years or more, I met some Russian people. Actually, I was working as a receptionist in this Russian spa as my second job because, you know, they paid well and the spa treatments are also very good. But suffering that to be so, you know, they were real cool with me. And one day I remember the woman, she came to me and, you know, we were so cool. We was having lunch, dinner, we hanging out. She said, "Do you know that Christ is black?" So I leave her to continue talking because, you know, we young girls, we hanging out. She said, "In a matter of fact, all the disciples in the Bible is black." I said, "Well, how do you know that?" Because this is a Russian girl I'm talking to, white skin, blue eyes. She said, "Because it is true." I said, "But how do you know?" She said, "I used to be a librarian. I work in the major library in Russia," and she said, "I know of the books." She said, "But one day you'll find out that this information is so." So I celebrate to know that she told me this. This is over 20 years ago, and it never surfaced. And I wondered about it. part of me wanted it to be true, really, really, really true, that it would surface so that the world could see it and feel it and know it to be true within having documentation. And when this day has come, it's a great celebration because we have known and seen that the Pope, even when he got shot, he had bowed down into a room to the Black Madonna and Child. So we knew that they serve a different kind of God to the one that they place on the walls of our grandparents. I won't say us, because we kind of grew up in a, what we'll say, a rebellious time, knowing, nah, that white man can't be Jesus. You can't give us that. Mary was not that. And we rebelled against it, and we knew all that was a lie. But not having any documentation, we still went on with our feelings because we know, here what, it cannot be so. We start checking time, we start checking date, we start checking location, and we knew it just can't be so. And they wrote the story, and they told the story, but yet they tried to tame the story. And there was very simple facts within the story that led us to believe it was a lie. Because if story be true, and Jesus as a child had to be hidden, and his parents were instructed to take him down to Egypt, how possibly you can hide a white man among the blacks? He won't be hiding. He will stand out like a sore thumb. So even these small things that our children came to ask us, and they're letting you know, we're not buying that. There's a 15-year-old right now talking. I'm telling you, they're my nephews. You can't give them that kind of hogwash. That was your great-grandmother's story. They're letting you know because they're calculating time, events, and of course, the internet has helped them to understand because it narrowed things down. Long ago, we had to go to the library, read 300 books before we formulate one thesis about something. For those of us who know about higher education, it was sleepless nights, and I'm telling you, tiring, your eyes are red by morning. And for some of us who didn't even have electric light, you had to use a candle. Painful enough, we still had to come out with a doctorate and master's and everything else that they call it, all because we had to function in Babylon. But it was hard and difficult times when we had to do research, and we had no internet or nothing of the sort called AI chat room and all this kind of everything else with Google. But suffered all this information to be so. Importantly, this evening, we see what Putin has done, or rather undone, and we, the black people of the world, have the time to see who we are, where we are, and use this very, very valuable information for our step forward. Dr. Robinson, let me know who else is there in the studio that would like to try chime in this evening.
Okay, 516-721.
516-721, your mic is open.
Greetings, this is Sister Joan.
Greetings and blessings. Welcome.
Give thanks, love, peace, and blessings. And listen to the sharing of knowledge. Thanks for having me. Give thanks.
Okay, wonderful. Of course, you know that's our wonderful Sister Joan. As you know, the Woman Auxiliary hosts the show, and I encourage all women from their Women Auxiliary to come on. And of course, it's nice to listen, it's nice to share in at any time you feel that you want to chime in as the conversation progresses. And of course, I thank you very, very much, Sister Joan, for coming on this evening and taking up, you know, some of your precious time. It's so very wonderful. As we know, we continue with the show, and you know what our topics are. Dr. Amos, let me know who else is there that would like to chime in before I continue. 347-499.
Thank you so much for having me. Very good topic, Sister Sadie. And the topic about what Jesus depicted as black, I'm very intrigued by it, and I'm very happy that you decided to bring it on this evening, because this has been a question of the centuries. What did Jesus look like? And the fact that Mr. Putin, after all these years, in 2024, is saying to us that he is black, you know, it's a good answer for many youths of today who are looking for identity. As we know, the picture of Jesus, it's one of the most commonly painted figures in Western art. But what do we really know about his appearance? So Mr. Putin is right on point, right? Because for centuries, we know that the most common image of Jesus Christ, at least in Western cultures, that is, has been that of a bearded, fair-skinned man, long wavy, light brown or blonde hair, and blue eyes. Even the Bible itself doesn't describe Jesus physically. And all the evidence we have indicates probably he looked very different from how he has long been portrayed. The Bible gives us no clue about Jesus' physical appearance. So most of what we know comes from, I think, growing up in my Adventist church, would be about the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we hear about Jesus, although we know that Jesus never wrote anything, but that's where we come face to face with a person called Jesus. And according to the Gospels, I think that he was raised, he was a Jewish man. He was born and he was raised in the town of Nazareth in Galilee, which is formerly Palestine, now northern Israel, and that was sometime during the first century. So to take the first century from that time where this man had no identity into our new millennial, our new age of reasoning, our new AI world, and to say that he was black, it's for me a great awakening. We know that a lot of things about Jesus. He was 30 years old when he began his ministry. But even when Jesus was arrested, right now the world is celebrating Easter. Last Friday gone was Easter Friday. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane before the crucifixion, even Judas Iscariot, he had to point Jesus out to his soldiers among the disciples. And one of the conversations I had last Friday was, why would Judas Iscariot have to point Jesus out to his soldiers among the disciples? Why? You know, it's like, it was very perplexing to me. And I think it's because he was a darker person. His hair was woolly in texture. And the Bible tells you that the hairs of his head were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet was like burnished bronze, fine as in a furnace. So it's very important, you know, for me. The first caller said that she was surprised, but I'm not surprised at all because the things of this earth must be made known, right? And this is the timing. The timing is perfect to give us this representation of Jesus Christ, coming all the way from the first century to 2024. How many centuries after all those paintings in the ancient catacombs of St. Domitilla in Rome, paintings that were discovered centuries ago. We know that Jesus was a good shepherd. He had short, we know a lot of things about Jesus. And one of the things that always perplexed me is that why he went into, if the narrative that we have is correct, he went into the tomb a black man, but he came out, he rose this morning as a white man, right? So there's a lot of things that I have to be answered, and I'm very happy that Mr. Putin is putting the story straight right now.
Wonderful, my sister, because I'm going to give you an opportunity to come back and hit us on a topic that we're going to bring again. But there's something I want to point out here to you, because you know how we like to take our angles from a different direction. You ask a question, why was it that Jesus had to be pointed out when they stood there in the garden? I would give you this, and I want to tickle your brains for a moment, my sister. You see what it is? They all looked alike, so they did not know who he was. So it comes like, is it him, or him? Because as we know very well, let's take it from the white woman point of view. A white woman will say, a black man rape her. And when you bring 10 black men, she cannot even tell you which one it is because they all look alike from her eyes. So this is the reason why Jesus had to be pointed out, because he was among
so they can tell. And you know, sister, if we get dressed up and we hang out together, you know, they might not know which one of us is who. They might say, "Which is Sadie again?" So
that's
just letting
true,
you know, because
right.
I think I'm not very much anger. So also, today as we are talking, and it is, for some people, it is the big bonnet and hat day, which of course, you know, for some Christians who, you know, for my great heartbreak will say Happy Easter. But what are we celebrating here today? It is Easter Sunday in Babylon, USA, and UK, and I guess in the Caribbean as well. But what are we celebrating here? Because, you know, as I said, on Sadie Sundays, your Sundays, what we do, we take it from under the rug. So let's just take this very Sunday from under the rug. Let's have what's happening here. What's happening here, in fact, is this is, in fact, the Feast of Easter, which is, in fact, a fertility feast. That's why we are seeing all these rabbits and all these eggs and all of these paraphernalia that goes with this. This was, in fact, a pagan holiday. Has nothing to do with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, especially our newfound Jesus Christ, who is black. This has nothing to do with him, but this has indeed to do with a wicked pagan holiday. And, of course, you know, on Sundays, you know, we have to hit a little bit of the scriptures, and without apology, we are going to take it from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, because this is what the book has told us as we listen and we learn and we understand what we are doing today. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 18, it said, because I'm going to just read it, "The children gathered wood, and the fathers kindled the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger." I will just read chapter verse 19. "Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces?" And this is what is happening today. Because today we see they go to church with their big bonnets and hats and this cake and food and a big happy time. But this offering and this day is for the Queen of Heaven. It is the Feast of Easter, whereby you have that fertility feast, and that is what was done on that day. It is very surprising that Christians decide to take this very pagan holiday and have this correlation with my Lord and Savior and decide that this is some kind of Easter Sunday where he'll rise and everything. So now you know how we do it on the side of tongue, people. I am just telling you, this day is not to be recognized by any Christians or God-fearing people, but please observe April 22nd, which is a Passover, and we probably have to do it on the next Sunday show because we'd have to get in with that. So here I am again letting my studio audience chime in to know that this day is in fact a pagan holiday. Dr. Robinson, let me know who's there.
Yes, all the mics are open right now. Anybody wants to participate, they can. The mics are open if you want to contribute something.
Sister Sadie, I'm very happy that you made that point, because I've always asked myself, why do we believe the things we believe? Why do we do the things that we do? Do we do it out of tradition? Do we do it out of our own consciousness? And what if we were to break from that tradition? Would we be considered outsiders? No, the chances are we have never even stopped to ask ourselves that question. We have been taught since childhood to accept Easter as the chief of the Christian holidays. You have supposed it is part of the true Christian religion. We observe Lent, Holy Week, Good Friday. We buy hot cross buns at the bakery. We have colored Easter eggs. We dress up. We go to church Easter Sunday. My family, like this Sunday, today was a big day. Like it was a fashion show at church today. We have to attend Easter service because it's very important. What kind of instinct that led us to believe this falsehood? We do a lot of things that are wrong, and we think that these things are right. Some of us, we even think it's sacred because we are saved. We have saved money just to go get ourselves looking proper for that day. Now, we have to look at the meaning of the name Easter as well. I was just discussing that earlier today as well with some people. We have been led to be suppose that the word means resurrection of Christ. In 100 years, the Western world has been taught that Christ rose from the dead on Sunday morning. But is that true, or is it really a fable? And weren't we warned from the Apostle Paul about that? Did the resurrection really occur on a Sunday? Where did that word Easter really come from? And what can we do as enlightened beings to move away from that word Easter and to find our true origins? Within our, the Ethiopian tradition, what kind of enlightenment can we bring to the younger generation, women, children, that to tell them that this is wrong without being stones that being cast at us, or we have become shepherd propagandists, or we have become outsiders? What can we do from here? Because more and more every year it's getting worse. Because, I mean, when I was raising my daughter, I was a part of it myself because I didn't want her to be left out. Like right now, it doesn't bother me. But then it's like the tradition continues. And if every year the same thing continues to happen, I mean, where do we go from here, right? So that's my question again.
Okay, my sister, I'm glad that you know you strike on such a chord concerning something you definitely said when you said, would we be considered outsiders if we don't go along with the norm? Yes, the answer is very well so, concerning certain agendas that have been placed. Let's take, for example, April Fool's Day, being April the 1st. Now, why was it named such a thing? Now, that is really the New Year, and we should say Happy New Year. But if story be true, I understood that there was a few people who decided that they will continue to keep April the 1st as their New Year, because April being that newness, that freshness, that spring. And when it was changed and people decided that they're not going to change with it, is when it was named April Fool's Day, because they termed them as fools and people laughed at them. They said, you still celebrate on April the 1st? No, we changed that to January the 1st. You must be really foolish. And hence the reason, is it tomorrow? That is going to be April Fool's Day? But I just want to wish you a happy New Year in advance. But, you know, I'm speaking. You did say something as well concerning, you know, what it is that Ethiopian World Federation can do in terms of enlightening our people. What we can do, we can be living examples of the thing. Hence the reason we keep things Ethiopia, we keep things within the precepts of the old ways, and not try to remove the old landmark. Like, for instance, it's Passover. Ethiopian World Federation, however, we can have guidelines and directions, because as we, the black people of the world, it is in our hands to shape and educate our children into various directions as which they should go. So more and more so, we know that responsibility lies within us in terms of educating our children. You know, and our brother as well, Dr. Umar Johnson, he is very instrumental in pushing that fact that we got to educate our children to let them know what is the truth. Because if they are left for others to put into their heads the things that they ought to know, what are they going to know? They're going to know the bunch of lies. And we could break this whole system of lies by telling the truth and not recognizing what is actually happening and being swayed in the breeze and bent into every whim and fancy of Babylonia. Because what is happening here, we sometimes in our heart know the truth. Because when you start to study Easter, why is all this eggs and rabbits and what does it have to do with Christ? But rather than that, Christians decide, I'm going to church. It's my one time for the year I go to church. I have my fancy dress, my shoes, and they are blown away with the wind. And the Bible tells us about the shaft that is blown away with the wind. It tells us. But people would rather gravitate to something that is more comfortable. that is more accommodating to their very needs. Because if we decide the truth hurts. The truth is rough and rugged. The truth has jagged edges. The truth is not polished. The truth is not smooth around the edges, and the truth is not no big teddy bear you can hug up for comfort. Most times the truth will discomfort you, but it will set you free, because then you don't have the idea of lies. Because everyone knows you need one lie to cover the last lie that you told, and another one to cover that just one that you just used to cover. And so you're going on with 300 lies. So one item, and if you told the truth, it might only hurt for a little while, but then it set you free. You know, you don't have the burden of lies and the chain and what should I say? You know, real despair that lies brings you at the end of the day. Because you see that lovely thing called your conscience, which you have to lay with in the night. You know, it has you tighter than your boyfriend. I'm just telling you, it's worse than your husband. It lives in your head. And that you have to answer to when you lay. Because it is also written, I will lay on my bed and meditate within my own heart. But when you have lies fulfilling your soul, it is very difficult to lay in your bed and meditate within your own heart, because your own heart is tormenting you. So, you know, people, set yourself free, because we are coming to a very serious time upon the earth by which the time itself is changing. I can't help but emphasize that after the 8th of April, yes, after the 8th of April, oh, that's next week. Of course, we have a show coming before it. I will give you a little extra lessons just before. But letting you all know, time as we know it and the world as we know it is going to have a change. It's going to have a different feeling. Don't wait until next week. Oh, well, wait until next week, or you're going to come back 2 weeks, family, and let me know how you all feel. There's going to be a heightened, set of emotions, and of course, madness. Not to mention, oftentimes I have spoken of lawlessness. For those who are listening all the time and taking their notes, you already know we speak of lawlessness that is going to come upon the earth. Not the lawlessness that we know, the regular sort of crime that we know, the police hold you, jump over the turnstile and you get arrested and you get a ticket. Not those little ones. Those little ones will be a chick feed to the kind of lawlessness that's about to occur upon the earth. There's a new kind of madness, I should say, occurring upon the earth, but it has some spiritual connotations because it has been explained by, you know, a video I saw, but I want to just bring it to you, my wonderful studio audience, for you to be aware that women, and I don't know if it's black, white, or but right now we are just seeing white women, maybe just some blacks in between there, but this is what the story is. Women are walking the streets mostly by themselves, most likely minding their own business, and are being punched in the face. Violently punched in the face by, of course, a stranger, a man. It so happened they arrested a black man in Manhattan. I believe he had two cases where I don't know if this character is a little crazy or off the hook or whatever it is, because they show him in previous years whereby he wanted to run for the mayor of New York City one time, at least wanted to run for the president, that type of character, I should say. I don't know if he's mad, I don't want to just call him out as that. I have not done any research on his character. I don't want to do any character assassination on this person. But this is actually happening. For those of us who don't know, of course, you know, you get your Sunday slice of the news from 7 o'clock. This is actually happening. So for those of us who know, I would like for you to weigh in on this topic. So I'm going to open the mics for those of us who know of this item that's happening right now with us. Your mics are open. Okay. I guess you all are on mute at this time, so I'll continue within the conversation to let you all know that something really dreadful is happening as women are walking the streets of New York City and are being punched in the face by strange men. This has happened more than once, more than twice. It seems to be a new thing that is happening upon the earth right now, especially in the city life. It's a straight case of lawlessness approaching us, of which we have often spoken about. And now we are seeing evidence of this destructive behavior, and women particularly are being singled out for such a destruction. So here we are with this part of conversation. Your mics are open. Please weigh in on this conversation. Dr. Robinson, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. All mics open at
okay,
this point.
Let's hear what you have to say. So are you aware that this is going on?
What subject matter? Which one?
That women are being punched in their faces as they walk the streets of New York City?
Oh, yeah, someone was telling me about that. It was a very strange thing, and they don't understand. They don't seem to understand how to find the person, or who the person is, or get his videos, because most of the streets in New York, they have, to my knowledge, from before, they had videos going on, recording and taking pictures and so forth. And they seem not to be understand how to have the person. The person seems to be hiding, according to what I was told, behind clothes, some gutter or something, inside some building space. And then he just jumps out and punches the person in the face, secretively. He would just up and, you know, punch them. And you're quite right. It's happening quite frequently now. It's taking up a lot of the police time investigating and trying to find out who this person is. Yeah, it is really getting ridiculous.
Well, it's definitely a case of lawlessness, because we are seeing where a new stage where people are invading the space and, of course, privacy of other people, where you now have fear while you're walking the streets. This is a case of fear. Women now will have to walk in packs or groups, knowing that once they are singly operating, they are victims of this abuse, because a punch in the face can knock you out. Some women are not as strong to withstand a blow from a man. They would fall straight to the pavement and even hit their head, and Lord knows it could turn out worse than expected if they fall onto a hydrant or something, metal. Depends on what's happening. A punch can send you staggering into the streets. Maybe you get knocked by a car. This is a new set of behavior that is taking place. And a video was sent to me today or yesterday of why this is seemingly happening. So I'll have to send out this video and probably do an extension of this information on the next show, but this is in fact happening, and I really am afraid of the copycat killers, of the copycat, just the copycats of destructive behavior that may want to extend this further. We as women, we have so much to do already when walking the street. We have to keep our surroundings, look around, make sure our handbags is nicely close to our bodies. We have to keep it moving. We have to still keep a little smile on our face. We have to go about our business, take care of our household. It's just a lot we have to do. And now we have to look out for some abuser who is waiting for that unsuspecting woman to abuse her. Because that's abuse. That's physical abuse. You're left with a mark in your face, a black eye perhaps, depending on how hard you're punched. And the women, they brought it on Facebook. They have videos, and they tell you. And they're terrified. And I imagine other women would figure they may share the same fate. It's bringing terror right now onto women. as to why this is being done, there must be some kind of explanation for this kind of madness, or is there? So the mics are open. Please let me know if you know of this event that's happening. My studio audience has muted themselves. All mics are open. Anyone wish to weigh in on this conversation?
All mics are open. Everyone, you have to unmute yourself and speak up, because sometimes that's the consideration. If it's on mute on your end, you have to mute it, you know, twice. We have to mute it from the studio, and you have to mute it from your computer, telephone, or whatever. So try to unmute yourself.
Okay, and Dr. Anderson, as we are talking, do you know of this piece of conversation that today was named Transgender Recognition Day?
Oh, no. No, I didn't hear that.
No, not this one. You and Fresh, you know,
who,
understand this.
Who made that up?
Going. Huh?
Who made that?
That's
who made that
up? Coming from the Dems. You know, they had a big... Yeah, that was thrown out there at me. Someone threw it out. I did not take any... I really have to pay attention to what's going on and to investigate if such a day was being called that, and how privileged are these people right now. But as you know, we have many things going on in the news. At the top of the hour, we spoke about the Baltimore bridge crash. Dr. Robinson, do you have to weigh in on the Baltimore bridge crash at this time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are many circumstances.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, so you go ahead talking. I'm listening.
America's in some weird positions, and you hear weird responses to the problems like that. The logistics are not in. They're investigating, so we don't have the logistical facts in terms of the actual reasoning. There is a reason why it crashed into the bridge, but it's not clear how the boat got into those circumstances, because there are supposed to be, you know, logistical security and systems in place that would prepare for the boat itself, and it was not. Angle in which the boat hit the bridge is questionable. And the way the boat hit the bridge and then turned around and came back again is questionable. So there's a lot of logistics that are not there. Now, we know that Maryland, Baltimore, the DMV, all are like metro areas. That they're like we have New England here in New York. In New York, it's a surrounding area. So Maryland has a African American governor, as well as Baltimore has an African American mayor. And quite obviously, under these circumstances, the mayor and the governor responds to what they're going to do and the logistics of it and how it happened and why did it happen and what can you do to get it going. That bridge is a major throughway for all goods and services. There's about somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 billion worth of goods going through that there, cars, boats, food, technology, electronics, equipment. Through every day, there's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of products being transported from throughout the world. Come from all over the world, coming from Europe, come from Asia, come from Africa, come from the Caribbean, all of the products and services, all the products are being shipped through that bridge. And on that bridge also, all the trucks pass that bridge going south, the products and goods and things of that sort, to other places. So you have two things. You have the maritime situation where the boats are carrying cars and boats. They're carrying cars. They're carrying, you know, electronics. They're carrying all kinds of goods and services throughout the world. Then you have the bridge itself where the trucks are going through with large numbers of products and manufactured goods and food and et cetera. So your damage both ways is going to be a heavy hit on transporting goods and services. It's going to be a heavy hit on the pricings of products because of the lack of to be able to get them. There's going to be a shortage of products because this particular bridge in Baltimore has is very viable. It's a very viable and very usage area. And so some senator, U.S. senator from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, wanted to say that the mayor of Baltimore, which is a young African-American guy who looks like he looks like an average young African-American guy with, you know, a baseball jacket, the way he was dressed, the way his hair is cut, he looked like your average urban African-American youth from the inner city. And so the guy was saying, you know, racial things about him. He would say something to the point of, we be seeing what's happening with that bridge, sort of trying to mimic what they call Ebonics, which is some kind of creative black language in the cities and different places in South. And so instead of him seeing him, a U.S. senator, U.S. congressman, assisting the mayor to try to figure out the logistics, the problems, and resolving it, he's throwing out this Republican racist, is throwing out these racist things, and he's saying that he's a DEI mayor, and you know, DEI is, you know, considered in America is some kind of negativity. It's diversity, inclusion, diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? So basically saying that, okay, you don't have a terms of action which states that if you have X amount of people in a state or city or government and you have the diversity of the administration, the operation should also be reflective of if you have so many Hispanics, so many blacks, so many Asians, so many whites, particular area, if there's a large number of minorities, there should be a large number of minority representation, administration, city workers, the whole thing. And so there's a big thing going around now that all of these people, because they're African-American, they have certain jobs, that they come to the job only because of DEI, only because of CRT, only because of wokeness, only because of the ability for them to get, because they're black and they need it, and somebody need a black person to fill that job, so here we go, push the person in. So this kind of racist behavior is going on as well. And so, and the governor is also African-American, so now we have double indemnity here. It's a big situation we have in America now with this kind of hatred that we're hearing, especially in the political sector. So they're trying to say, because the mayor, because the governor, there was some dysfunction in government that caused this accident. There should have been, government should have had certain things already in place to circumvent the accident from happening. Being that they didn't have certain things in place, there was a certain security, certain procedures that was missing because of this governor and this mayor. So you have that. But the logistics are not in yet. The logistical team, the engineering teams that do come and do the evaluation and the analysis that come up to some kind of subsequently understanding of what happened have not been done
as yet. They're in the process of getting that part done. Right now, you got people that you got people workers who died. They're working on the bridge, fixing it, whatever. So you have several workers that died, several people that died in the car crashes, and et cetera. So now they're dealing with the deaths of the people and the logistics of that, and trying to resolve that issue, get to the families, talk to them, give them assistance and burials and finances and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's so much to do on that particular part of it. Then you go to logistics and you find out why this happened, how did it happen, et cetera. It could be a freak accident. Could be 100 million things. Quite obviously, you have conspiracy theorists who have their perspective. You have the political sector, whether it's Democrat or Republican or Independent or whoever. They have their political ideology. You have, like I say, ideology coming from and understanding coming from conspiracy theorists. You have all sorts of things happening now. And I would dare say this, because of the great divide in America, because we don't have, we really don't have a united country. We don't have a consistently united government. We have a defrayal government. We have a lot of racism, and it's taking hold into people dealing with logistics and facts. And me personally, you know, I really care less about people that say negative things about African-American niggas or whatever they want to say, because first of all, they're not going to help me pay my bills, take care of my family, do anything. Say what you want to say. Just don't put your hands on me. And I'm just tired. It seems that every little thing that happens, it has a racial overtone. So you don't get to, like you're saying, get to the facts, what happened, how it did, you know, things of that sort. It's not that kind of ball game anymore. It's because Biden and Trump and Republicans and Democrats and liberal and independent and because we're going into a political, we're in a political season right now. We're getting ready to get going into voting for the chief of the head of the government, presidential, president, vice and second, and all these other people running. And so I'm saying that people are not being logistical. They're not looking for facts anymore. They're looking to throw mud at each other. And that doesn't make no sense, because that's not helping us resolve the issue. Because you hate somebody because of the color of their skin, because they're not your person, they're not like you, they don't look like you, you know, and this hatred thing that's going on in the great divide in this country is just implicit, and it's just, it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And so, you know, like you're saying, okay, what's going on, what's happening, it's so difficult to get to the facts because of the stupidity of the social conditioning of racism, systematic in the country.
Let me just join in here with you in your conversation. You see, what we are seeing happening here as we watch concerning the effect of the lies that is being told to us. You see the bridge and you see a ship coming, and we are wondering who is manning the ship, who is in this vessel, what cargo are they carrying, and they are coming. You see a flicker within the lights of the ship to show that maybe something was wrong or maybe something wasn't wrong, and it keeps coming right until it crashes into the bridge. We are wondering, did the ship did it? Was there another explosion? Was it bomb? What is really going on? Because at this very time, we are seeing things that are happening, but with the amount of lies that we are being told. And like, for instance, when the news was reported, you heard 6 people die. Another set of news, and people tell you that bridge would normally be a busy place, and they swear it's more than 6 people that would have passed. So just back to you, Dr. Robinson. I know more people came into the studio, so we let open the mics of the rest of the people to Wayne.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say, I'm going to say very quickly. We're like you said, information is being disseminated incorrectly for purposes of people trying to be better than somebody or somebody trying to make somebody look stupid. That's why I talked about the racial divide and racism, because it's always not about the facts. It's not about even the newspapers and the news reporters and the news on television. They're either democratically driven news reporters, or they're Republican driven news media news reporters. You find that the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal are conservative, and some of them are liberal, and they spread the news according to how to make their particular group look better. If they're conservative, they're with the Republicans. They're trying to make them look better. If they're liberal, they're with the Democrats. They're trying to make them look better. And in a situation like this, instead of getting down to the facts and understanding the logistics, which is basically how did it happen, how many people got hurt, what time it happened, what type of cargo was on the boat, all those logistical facts, we can't seem to get to that because we're dealing with the internal racism in America, and they prefer to spread lies and disinformation to hurt somebody as opposed to get to the facts. So so far that's what I see about that, you know. And
but
go right ahead.
Yes, I just want to say, you know, we have our other guests joining us. Our topics this evening, we discussed what happened on the bridge, and for those who are just joining us, we also spoke about the fact that Putin has opened the vaults and the black people are knowing themselves for the first time, and for some of us who already know who we are, it's a great, exciting time. We also speak the fact that Ethiopian World Federation, our preamble is we, the black people of the world. So here we are, facing a wonderful time to express our black self and, of course, to know the truth of who the black nation really is. And now that we have this newfound truth, what are we going to do with it? So let's open the mics of the callers that just came in, Dr. Robinson.
Okay, so 347-907, your mic is open.
Greetings and blessings to each and everyone, to the host and everyone on the show. Yes. What is happening now is just the Almighty Word fulfilling, you know? If we refuse to be ruled by the Almighty, so tyrants and demons will rule the earth. That's what it is right now. Men refuse to live right and righteously and to speak the truth and to let the nation know the truth. But the truth is not being known, because I never see nothing like this. A ship just lit one post and everything dropped down. Come on. That go way beyond that, man. A bridge not supposed to collapse like that unless it is dispatched. Unless something or someone dispatched it from its foundation. The whole foundation just dropped like that. Up just one. I'm a construction person, and every 10 feet you're building a column, there's supposed to be a column every 10 feet in anything you're building in that way. So if one part of the build that thing that's fallen, we could say this or that, but the whole thing just collapsed. The whole thing. And pertaining to Mr. Putin and opening the wall, they all are hypocrites and liars and demons and Satan. They know the truth about us. And what is happening now is the Almighty is delivering his people and his children out of these pits and bondage, and they can't do nothing about it. Right now, we are trying to get our nation and our people united. If the black nation or the black man or the Ethiopian people was united, this world would be in peace. So That is not our fight anyway. Our fight is to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, and united and progressive, and to teach our youth and our nation and the children the truth about the Creator and the whole earth and all, because men refuse to live by the Almighty laws and commandments. So tyrants and demons will take over the earth, and that is what is happening right now. Tyrants and demons are running the earth. They said, kill Christ and give us Barabbas. So Barabbas is running the earth right now. So, my people, let's try to get our nation and our people together, right? When we are together, we don't need Babylon money. We are so much like the sand of the shore, black people on a whole. We are the majority of people in the world. We have the richest land, most gold, most diamond, more rubies and silver than the most sexiest woman in the world. We have everything. So let's work to unite our people together and leave Babylon and them war, because what they sow, they're going to reap. Blessed love, enough love and respect to each and every one, you know? That's my point. You want to say something, my brother?
Thank you so very much, Cole. If you have someone else I would like to join in, because, you know, it's fun.
Well, my brother is here, but maybe he will come in later. He's not at this time.
All right. Not a problem.
I'm still here. Enough love and respect.
Okay, bless us.
205-742, your mic is open.
Yes. Just chiming in on what's been said. I totally agree with the brother that just got off speaking. We are in the best times, even though it may not look like it, may not feel like it, but our God, the God of the black man, Yahusha, is coming back for us. And all we have to do is just sit back and watch the fireworks. Just as Moses was up against the Red Sea and two mountains on each side, and Pharaoh was in his back, God said he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Today's Pharaoh is the white man. He is the power of this world. If we go back to the book and look at Job 9:24, the world was given over to the wicked. And just like the brother stated a minute ago, because we didn't want to do what's right. We didn't want to do it, so the world was already, God created both of it, wickedness and righteousness. So he gave man a choice. And that we always chose to do what was not pleasing in God's eyesight. So God left it, our own choices, to ourselves. And we chose to do what's wrong. And what animal did God say his people were? Sheep. And what defense a sheep got against wolf, lions, tigers, and bears? See, all these other nations got their God. Every nation out here is not a nation of God. Anybody go back and read Deuteronomy 7:1. God went before us and killed all these people for us. We had a shepherd. A sheep need a shepherd. And we the people who are in this world that don't have a God. And I heard the brother speak on the ship hitting the bridge. Do y'all understand what size ship that is? That ship is 3-4 football field long. That ship hit that bridge. That bridge ain't nothing but a match stem to that ship. That ship is huge. I'm an engineer. Civil engineer, and I work in all that. And that bridge was a span bridge. It had 20 feet spans. You break one leg on that bridge, it's going down. We got two legs. Somebody break your leg, you ain't going to stand up neither. Just break one of your legs. And that ship is, it was a simple accident. It ain't no big conspiracy about what's going on, why that happened. The conspiracy is what the folks put the spin on it to make all this crazy. If that ship coming through there lost power, the stern, it could not drive. A ship don't have brakes. When it start moving, it can't stop. If two ships is passing in the night, they get too close to one another and get in close proximity, they can't stop. They're going to run into each other. It ain't no brakes on the ship. It ain't no reverse in an airplane. So that ship is 3 football fields long and probably 4-5 stories high. If y'all the city folks in New York, count 3, 4, 5, 6 stories on a building. That's how tall that thing is. It hit that bridge, it'll fold that bridge up just like a match stem. It's huge. And if it malfunction, they can't steer it, you lose power control on your car. And they read your car so smooth and all, they got mechanical engine. That engine turning that wheel for you with hydraulics and pumps. But that ship got loose and hit one of them pillars. If it break that pillar, it's going to collapse there. The weight going to go down right there. It's going to pick up. The next span, it's going to break loose and come loose. And when it come loose, one thing hold the other thing. And that's easy could happen. It easy could happen. But we live in the times. We live in a world now. Ain't no telling. The pilot probably was high on crack cocaine. You don't know. We don't know what the circumstances is. These people drink, smoke, and do all kind of things. It ain't like the old school. Probably basic everybody on this radio, 60, 70 years old. We took life serious. We took matters in our hands back in the day very seriously. Some of these young cats, 45 and 50 years old and down, the old people nowadays don't take nothing serious. So it ain't no big conspiracy to me that the bridge fell like that if that ship hit it. Absolutely it'll collapse that bridge like that. That thing is huge. But back to the word. You know, God saying, let my people go. Pharaoh, let my people go. They cannot continue mishandling black folk. God finna step back in. Yes, God punished us for not keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. But now God is saying, let my people go. He's sending out different plagues upon the nation. And y'all keep in mind, April the 8th, a total eclipse is coming in. And this eclipse is going to start in the town in Texas. Jonah, Texas. Read your book. Jonah was the one who was supposed to prophesy to Nineveh. You know, Jonah said he wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to preach to them wicked people. But God told him, yes, you is going to preach. But Jonah got on a ship and went that different way what God told him to do. But God put him out there in the rough seas. And they had to throw Jonah off the boat. And so Jonah got back and got in the belly of the whale. And that whale turned him loose and put him on dry land. He went straightway to Nineveh and started preaching. They said it was like a 2-day trip from where he got on dry land to go over there. He made it in one day. He didn't even rest to go do God's work. So this eclipse is a sign from heaven starting in Jonah, Texas. And every city that's named Nineveh in the United States, the eclipse is going to go over every one of them. And now it was an eclipse 7 years ago. But it was 2017 that put an X the other way. So it's Xing the United States out. If United States don't give up their wicked ways, it's finna go down. The United States is finna go down. And God ain't coming back to kill the people that are oppressed. Now, it's almost wicked. It's some wicked black folks. Yes, it is. But we certainly ain't equal to the wickedness that the white people done put on in this earth. We are God's children. We just so disobedient. And now he finna come back and set the record right. It's a lot of, he said that one-third of the Hebrew Israelites are going to die along with Esau. Esau in the Bible is the white man. Jacob is the black man. And he said two-thirds are going to die along with Esau. So we so Egyptianized or so Americanized, and we want to follow Esau every which way cause of money. We ain't worshiping God. If you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve money and God too. God says, seek ye the kingdom of heaven. Then all these riches and things will be added unto you. Now, all of us out here want to give up everything, college education, and nobody knocking education. It's a beautiful thing, but do it in the order it needs to be done in. But if we putting all these things before God, we doing a good job, money, everything come before God. Now, God finna show up and handle this thing. The world can get ready. And Putin is an instrument See, the God can use the devil too. God can use the devil too. See, he worked both ways. And then going back to when you hear about the Republican Party and all these folks who vote for Donald Trump, saying Donald Trump, look, Donald Trump did this for black folk. Donald Trump did that for black brother. I'm from Alabama. I'm a country boy. And we hunt deals. And we got pigs and all that. The day that pig get all that raw treatment, get the finest of food, get put up in a clean spot, we fattening him up for the slaughter. And when the deals get this free food, comb put out for them and all this kind of stuff, that's when I get in my hunting house and kill off all the deals I want to kill. So don't never think that Donald Trump is our friend and Donald Trump going to save us. Ain't neither one of them going to save us, Democrat or Republican. None of this stuff. The only somebody going to come back and save his people is God himself. So let us put our trust in the Lord. Put our trust in Yahushua, God Almighty, the one God. He said we was a holy people, a royal priesthood, one God, one people, one baptism. And all the multicultural, everybody love everybody, ain't never meant for everybody to get along. Everybody, God divide the land and told people stay in their place. But no, we went right on. When we got put in the promised land, we went straightway and started marrying and chasing after these other nations and trying to make friends with God's enemy. How you going to be a friend to a people that hate God, hate your God? How you going to be friends with somebody who hates your mom and daddy? And you're going to go out and make friends with them. You're going to find yourself as a slave. You're going to find yourself without a father, without a shepherd. And the whole world hates you and puts you in slavery. So I close out with this. Let us cheer up, be in good cheer. That everything going to be all right for those who love the Lord, God, Most High God. Because there's many gods in this world, many gods. But if we love the Lord, everything is working out just fine. The quicker we go it on and he come back and put all this in order and get this world straightened back up and get the black man in his rightful place, it will be peace on earth, like the brother said before me. It will be peace on earth. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And I close out right there.
Well, hello, caller. I thank you so very, very much for what you have just said. I want to just weigh in a little bit because, of course, on Sundays, we love to do the Sadie Sundays. We love to do the Scripture Sundays. And just before you came in, I touched upon the fact that today is, in fact, what Babylon U.S. will consider to be Easter Sunday. And I often talk of the fact that we do the truth on this side of town. And what I would like to reflect upon to let everyone know, in fact, we are talking about this is not a day that has anything to do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is, in fact, a pagan holiday and has to do with the feast of Easter. And I often mention, and we did read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 18, where we see that the children gathered the wood and the fathers kindle the fires and the women bake cakes unto the Queen of Heaven. So this day and this celebration where we are speaking of the rising of the Christ, it has nothing to do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we often point out on this side of town, but it's on a pagan holiday. What we should pay attention to, in fact, is April 22nd, which is, in fact, the Passover. But we have an interesting evening. We are talking about Putin exposing the vault and showing black people who they are, and I'm saying what a wonderful opportunity for us, we the black people of the world, since it's already our preamble, we have something that we can run with. So, Dr. Robinson, back to you. I'm able to see the wonderful studio audience, and I know the man himself is here, so bring him on, Dr. Robinson.
There you go, 302-547.
302-547, your mic is open.
Unmute yourself. Okay, he'll come in when he gets. Yeah, he'll come in when he gets unmuted. Okay, so 929. 586.
Yes, give thanks.
Welcome, my brother.
Sorry,
welcome.
I'm late. Sorry, I'm late. Listening to our brother.
You know, my brother, just to let you know, you are late, but you're going to pay the full price as if you came early. So I'm just letting you know.
I say. You know, but as my brother was saying, you know, about Job. And when Job got to Nineveh, by the time Job got to Nineveh, the people had accepted, you know, the Lord. And he got mad. He says, I did all these things. You put me through all this. And when I go, now that I'm here, everybody's saved. They accepted the Lord. You know, and like he said, the Lord don't have to use you. He used a donkey. He used a jackass. You know, if we don't obey. You know, we don't follow his word and his ways. And just today, you know, I was thinking about a lot of things. First, what God wants me to do. Second, my health, which is what he wants me to do, take care of that, you know, and so on. And so that all comes into one. So that's my promise and my commitment to praise him. He that is in me, you know, and so on. So I thank Brother Ruffin because he's always hard and on point, as other brothers are, and I appreciate him very much. And I appreciate Fady Sunday, every Sunday.
Of course, my brother, that's where you get, you know, your slice of your weekly slice of energy. So you tune in,
yes,
for your dose that will take you through to the next Sunday. But of course, it's good to know you've been a listener every Sunday. You don't miss it. And we're happy to have you on and you share your expertise and your wisdom with us. And, of course, all those wonderful videos that you send me as well, I can hardly keep up. But it's often all things Africa, all things knowledgeable. And, brother, I really know that it's a great day. As you know, you did chime in a bit late and you missed a little bit of the cream, but we can still hand it to you a spoon at a time. It's a great day to be black. It's a great day for the things that we waited for because we have heard that one day we'll be set free. And we are seeing a freedom is coming. It's slowly arriving, but, you know, we cannot give everybody a full glass. We have to give them in small sips so that the digestive process could be well. You know, people have heard what Putin said, but, of course, they are still asleep. And this news would not grip everyone with the same excitement as it will grip some of us who have known for a long time.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Were the people.
Yes.
And once again, as we always have, the man himself, the man with a plan to give you a hand for the time factor. I don't have time to go through the dictionary and act like I'm some kind of professor from Yale, Harvard, and Princeton all in one. But I want to say a man who came together to create Black Economics, Black Opportunity, Black Talk Radio, the brother himself, Dr. James W. Winborn, and the W is for winner. Let's give him a nice hand and bring him into the studio.
Peace and blessings to the family. How's everybody doing tonight?
Wonderful, and welcome to the show. You know, it's family time, and you know you are the big papi over here. And, of course, this is Dr. James Winborn, who had a wonderful vision of how much Sadie can talk and how well Local 26 could be on the map. Dr. Winborn, we thank you so very much.
Listen, we didn't know at the time, and we can go back and to some of those first broadcasts, and I remember you, you know, trying to find things to say, but we don't have that problem no more.
Oh, no.
We don't have
I got the bank mouth now. I graduate.
It's good to hear Brother Ronald A. Robinson and participating and being a part of these broadcasts and Dr. Robinson and everything. It's always good to be able to come on Sunday nights and share. I don't get here as much as I would like to. I know I wanted to be here the other day when we were talking about the issue of what was going on with Haiti, but I couldn't get here. But, you know, tonight there's always a lot of stuff that's going on. And I heard, just to piggyback a little bit on what that the second vice was saying, now it looks like things are up here in Babylon. And I would have to concur that this is the time that, if there ever was a time when we needed to come together, now is that time that we could come together, stay focused, look out for each other, because we're all we have. But I'm here to tell you that we're enough. We are all we need. And we just have to continue to work. You know, I hear me talking about the ship that hit the bridge in Baltimore. The craziest thing about all of this is the stuff, how they're trying to blame the mayor for what happened with this young black mayor.
He
was driving the boat. I'm getting some feedback in the back. So everybody, please be kind to set their mic, because it's kind of throwing me off a little bit. But there's a lot that's going on. You know, Putin revealing the black Christ. I think that's nice. But I have to ask, and I think we all should ask ourselves why. Why is he revealing this black Christ, and why is it now? I mean, he didn't just find that in the basement. How long have you known you've had that? And why are you just making an announcement now? So it was good. But I think that for the most part, you know, most people have accepted it. So now we have proof. But we have proof before. You can look at pictures in the Vatican, pictures of the Pope. You can see in the background, they got the black Madonna and the black baby. So they knew already, you know, but
the Ethiopian Bible.
Yeah, and they sought to keep us in the dark so that we don't know, so that we wouldn't understand our greatness. Thank God for enlightenment.
I want to just interject right here to answer your question as to why he opened up the vault now and whether he had known. The answer is yes, he had known, because at top of the hour, I did remark that I have Russian friends, because I was working at one time in a Russian spa. And the girl there, she said to me, she said, "Do you know that Jesus is black?" So no, I didn't answer her. I said, "But how do you know?" And eventually she said to me, I used to be a librarian, and I know of the old books. She said, all the disciples were black. And, you know, we were friends, and this was over 20 years. But timely, as to why Putin has revealed this, is because we are getting ready for World War III. And you know, you learn your lessons over on this side on Sundays. WW3 is getting ready, and these are some of the things that are being put in place to stimulate the excitement and to create the atmosphere for what is going on. So very timely. I'm happy he's doing it now, but then again, as one caller said, it's a time that God has truly decided to move and use people in such a way that we have to understand and see the mysteries that is going to play before us. The truth is coming out, and I'm happy it is, because this is what we deal with on a Sundays, and rightfully so. Putin timing is to coincide with WW3. So that is what is happening. Yes,
my wonderful president.
And then they want the support of Africa. They've already gotten the support of a lot of the African countries. And, you know, what they're saying is that Russia is the only European country that did not try to colonize Africa.
Is that true?
Yes.
I believe it is.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true.
Yes.
Anytime that there was some type of insurrection or United States would try to dethrone, you know, their person, or Europe and France were trying to set their people up, and it didn't work, and they dethroned what the people wanted. Russia was there. Russia sent medical aid through Cuba. You know, when Angola was rising, or the uprising, and every person that was there came out of Cuba. The military supported the black nations in their fight against those people and other people. All right. The other thing is that they're showing themselves as a support for Africa, not for nothing, because the natural resources that Africa has. Heretofore, Russia has more diamonds than South Africa, more oil, a lot of oil, and other natural resources. But because of the frozen tundra, and they were putting their money more into military rather than developing, they didn't have access. They don't have access to that. They spent billions of dollars on military to protect themselves or fight against the United States, you know, and so on. So this is one of the reasons why now they're going back to Africa, because of the natural resources. And they made an agreement saying, listen, we don't want nothing. All right, we will support you, supply you with technology, arms, and all this other kind of stuff. You know, and we won't be a colonizer. And this is why some of these African countries, or the BRICS, so to speak, is coming into Africa. The United Nations now, reparations for Africa and the world, because some of the African countries, they've had seats in the UN for years. They never had the right to vote. All right. Now they're getting that right to vote through the United Nations. All right. And things are going to change. You know, so, you know, that's part of it anyway.
And also to my brother, what I would like to add, as we talk about Africa and United Nations, United Nations has now moved their head office, their headquarters, to an African nation.
Uh-huh.
And also all their staff is also moving. So New York will no longer be the headquarters of the United Nations. And there will be 8,000 people, staff, that belongs to United Nations globally that will be moving to Africa to be closer as well. This is, in fact, happening. So we are seeing how, I mean, thank God Africa has enough land for all of us, and they kind of thrust the EWF out. But we are seeing where the effect of Africa and they wanting to get a whole of Africa, even under calling it the Middle East, which we know that's fictitious, all of that is North Africa, South Africa, East Africa. But what I want to get at, however, is the fact that are you hearing me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, good, because I just have a note on my recording. But what I want to say, however, what are we going to see here is how this information that Putin has given concerning the black people and the Hebrew Israelites, how it's going to affect the Chaldeans. because we have a fake set of people calling themselves the Jews who are not the Jews, and they seem to control everything, and people are afraid of them, sort of, because the fear of the Holy Spirit, Lord knows they're the holy people, but finding out this truth, that they're a bunch of liars, is going to affect a lot of things, and hence the war. It's going to be a spiritual war. I keep saying the war is going to be spiritual. The war is going to be against the blacks and those so-called people that are called the Jews, because now God is about to set his people free. And just as in the days, let my people go. When the very sea was part, who knows, the Pharaohs came. Of course, we had to drown them in the Red Sea, of course. Yes, but Pharaoh army still come, because with all they talking about the black people, this, that, and the third, if the black people is to be removed from this place, it's going to fall apart. With all they talking, the black people's strength, their energy, their vibration keeps this place alive. They built it. It keeps it alive. So what we are seeing, when the black people has this new sense of importance, and you know how fast we'll gravitate towards that, people might start making their own crowns and wearing their kingly garments, because black people have a way of understanding importance. We are seeing that these people are liars. The true children of God is liars. But interestingly enough, I look at the white people who were going to those Pentecostal churches and the very churches, and out of their mouth was Jesus, Jesus. When they realized it was really a nigger they were bending down praying to, what are they going to do to themselves? You know, it's turmoil, because you have racism in your heart. You hate the black man, but you are kneeling down crying out to this black man. Well, of course, not that you knew he was black only last week you found out. So by next week, what are you going to do? So here we have situations that we are faced with. Okay, please chime in, my wonderful studio audience.
Oh, I want to also say historically, a lot of things sometimes I forget myself about Russia, which is very interesting. Russia did not participate in slavery, nor did they want to. They rejected it. And that's a historical fact. So there's something that they know. Something that they know about. Now, there's been Africans in every, well, we know that the first dynasties of Europe were African people, and the Europeans came afterwards. But there are several countries in Europe that did not, in the slave trade, didn't see the necessity of it, would prefer to have employed people as indentured servants, but not as a slave. And Russia was offered many a times to participate, and they rejected it. Their government say, no, we're not going to participate in that. And so it's interesting, the relationship between how Russians were treating blacks back in the 1700s, 1800s, when blacks went to Russia, and how the Europeans treated them. So it's very interesting, you know, that history as well.
But, and also, let me chime in. Also, the reason that the revolution happened in the United States, Russia backed the North and put pressure on the whole system. Now, these people in the United States did not care anything about freeing those slaves, but it was all about money. And Russia was the one what was pushing. See, that's Russia have always been the thorn in the side of the European nation. He didn't act like the rest of them. And the reason we got freed over here in the United States, see, this is untold history. Russia was the one who applying the pressure to the United States that they was, you know, ill got gain, in other words, that they were making money off the backs of the slaves. And so Russia was pushing to get us free during the Civil War by putting sanctions or putting protests out there, pressurizing Britain and the Americans to end slavery in the United States. See, we didn't even know that. And we always know and always been taught in America that Russia was the big bad wolf, that he was the enemy. And they teach us this mess
saying just because they're enemy to the United States is an enemy to us black folk. But we are the different entity in the United States. So that's that white man enemy. But he was never the black man enemy. And so that's a little tidbit we could throw in there, too, that Russia wasn't financed. They were looking for financing. You know, all this stuff about money. So the South, the North, they needed money, you know, to build all the weaponry up and get the wall stirred up. So they cut off the South. The South didn't get the financing, so they chopped out there by themselves and didn't get the financing. But the North got the backings of Russia and all these other folks to help them with finance the Revolutionary War. And so we have to keep that in mind that, like I said, God could use any of them. Now, Russia's still white. They still white people now. And we always got to keep in mind that the poor of the white folks think they better than the richest of the black people. And so and they get that privilege because of white skin. Now, God never dealt in white and black. That was concocted and created. So it got to bar down to, go back to y'all Bible, go back to, it bars down to Esau and Jacob. And then when y'all hear about the hand that Jacob held on to Esau heel, and then the hand of man betwixt, meaning between Esau and Jacob. So all the other nations is in between Esau and Jacob. It wasn't but 18 nations in the Bible. That's all, 18 nations. And those people back then are the same people right now. We was the Hebrew Israelites that did not heed to God's word, and we didn't do what we owed. So we went into slavery because we rejected our shepherd. And we kept, that's why he put in the Bible, thou shalt not cover. See, the Israelites kept covering, looking over at other nations, how they lived. They had a king that they could touch, feel. Y'all remember the story of the first king, Samuel? Saul was the first king. David was the king that God chose for the people. But Saul was the people king. But anyway, we kept trying to be just like the world. And then we go all the way back out and see the book. Why would God send back Jesus to save the world when he pulled Abraham out the world? Abraham, daddy, and Abraham folks and all of them had multiple gods. So God revealed himself to Abraham and pulled him out of the world to follow him so that we wouldn't have all these multiple gods. There's not but one true living God, but there's many other gods out there that ain't going to do you no good. But God pulled Abraham out and then pulled a people out and wanted them to follow him. But we didn't do it like we supposed to have done it. And that's what got us in trouble. And
Brother
now that
Ruffin,
we're in trouble.
Brother Ruffin, you're very much on point, because when God asked him to leave his people, he said he specifically was asking him. He wasn't taking any other family with him, but what happened is he did. All
right.
And in doing that, he disobeyed God. You know, he says, you separate yourself. Not your cousins, not your mama, you know, anything else. You separate yourself unto that. And so on. And this is why we had a split, you know, between his brother and we separated, nations separated. But you know,
right, the northern tribe, the southern tribe, and all that, because King Saul was fooling around with all them different nations. King Saul was marrying all them strange women, and that takes you away from the true God. God said, every time you mingle around with these other nations, you're going to take on their gods if you marry into those women. And that's why King Solomon fell in trouble in. And that's what split the nation.
Yes. You know, with the Russian, though, if we go back and study the history of Europe, it was the black man who ruled.
Black folks ruled.
Ruled in Russia, in England, in Italy.
King James was a black man. King James
was
a black man.
Yeah, he was a piece of work. but you know, and so on.
He was a piece of work. Now he wasn't he wasn't no holy man, but he the one who translated the Bible on a black man.
He changed it, and so on. So what happened was, when you talk about France, you talk about England, you talk about Russia, all right, these people originally were ruled, the aristocracy were black people.
Right.
Okay. So even in the 1600s, when the Bible was rewritten, because there was so many, this Bible was written so that they say so that the common man could understand it, you know, and how that worked, not that well, because what happened was that most of the Europeans, most of the white people couldn't read.
Right.
They couldn't read. The Moors, they were the educators. Right. They were the ones that created the laws, built all the chapels we see today in Russia, in France, and in England. And in some of those, in some of those areas, when you go through a tour, they have pictures of Moors or black people, you know, and these people were leaders, you know, and so on. Like you say, you know, everybody, just because they're black ain't good. And
absolutely.
Europeans, and the Europeans, like Paul and others, they were landowners. They were wealthy. And the white man was poor.
He
didn't have any lands. All right. And this is how they came here. The Mayflower wasn't filled with kings and queens. You know, so when you hear somebody say, you know, well, my family came in on the Mayflower. Yeah, sorry for you. You know, so this is it. And even if you go to South Africa, the Bears made an arrangement with Russia not to put their diamonds, because Russia had a lot of diamonds. It's a diamond wealth country. And the Bears made an agreement with, listen, don't put your diamonds, you know, on the market. So the Bears had control of the market of diamonds, and they set the prices. Before, there was no price for diamonds, you know, even for gold, you know, so on. And so when that happened, they put the price on diamonds and gold and other resources as the people found out what they had, the copper and everything else, to build industry. And when they realized what they had, they needed somebody to work. So they used the South Africans. They used the slaves from the west coast of Africa. You know, so they can build an economy for France, for Germany, for Great Britain, you know, and so on. And we took that as slaves, and we turned it into an industry for them. Not just cotton and tobacco, all right? But when you look at the inventions that came to, medical inventions that came through, it all came through Africans who were slaves or ex-slaves. So once you take a man's language from him and bring it, they brought people here. These people were engineers and architects and scientists or what have you. The slaves that were here. And from them came development. They weren't developed. White people weren't developing anything.
They wasn't. And let me tag on.
They weren't developing anything.
I'm going to tag on what you're saying. That, see, it would have never been a nation in the history of the world that ever came to great power without the Hebrew Israelites. See, God cannot tell a lie. We got the blessing, and God did not renege on the blessing that he gave the black man. We the greatest at everything we do. To tag on what you're saying, we got the we the smartest, we the talentedest, we the most prettiest. The women are the most beautiful. The men are the most strongest. And we the athletes. We all these things. See, God didn't take that from us. The only thing he took from us was our inheritance. So he cut us off from our inheritance. When he cut us off, he let the base man. See, the white man was the base man. They the one came from caveman. They come from cave, the Caucasus Mountains. And Mount Sierra, y'all look up the word Mount Sierra. Go back through your Bible and look up the word Mount Sierra. That's where Esau went and found his wife at. Esau went up in the mountains. Esau was born with the spirit of Cain. That's why he don't have no feelings about killing you. He got the spirit of Cain put in him. And he went up there in the mountains fooling with half-breed people. They had Neanderthal genes. The Horite tribe. The Horite tribe is where he found his wife. And that's how they get that Neanderthal DNA in them. Now, Esau was born a Jew, a Hebrew Israelite. Jacob and him was twins. But he didn't follow no rules what his mom and dad tried to tell him, and none of God's rules. And he went up in the mountains and found his wife. And he was born red, and he was hairy gum. And he was born a cunning hunter. He fish and hunt. You look at them, they like to hunt fish, and they were blessed with weaponry. God bless Esau. Now, who got the best military on the face of the earth right now as we speak? You can't bring Pharaoh and Esau him down because they got the weaponry. That's a blessing that they got when Isaac blessed them. So he got the ability to fight and create weaponry. And that was the difference. That made the difference all over the world. They got a hold of gunpowder, and they learned how to stand there 100 feet from you and shoot you and kill you. We dealt them the same stuff that Jesus was doing. We could touch you and kill you. They call it voodoo now. But black people can send curses and spells and stuff on you. That's our religion. But they done tainted all that as evil and bad and stuff. Jesus didn't have no medicine. He could spit in his hand and get some dirt and rub over your eyes and make you see again. He could just touch you and heal you. That was Jesus' medicine. That was the Holy Ghost.
My wonderful caller, I must interrupt you because I know we are heading and running so closely top of the hour. And I'm, of course, enjoying that wonderful scripture evening because we must observe our Lord and Savior for what he has done for us and for bringing us thus far and, of course, for having us alive and well on a Sunday evening. But, you know, we run through the time and so very fast, and I myself began to watch the board and notice that since they changed the clock, the time is going faster. But, you know, of course, we are going to thank each and everyone who came out this evening. Of course, my wonderful caller who are bringing the scriptures, and I'm enjoying you. You know you're going to join me again next week, Sunday, because we have all the time for the scripture that we must, of course, observe who is ahead of our life. We want to thank, of course, our president for this wonderful vision he had for this radio station. As usual, he comes on, he says a few words because he just allows me to talk, or maybe I just talk too much over him. And, of course, my wonderful co-host, Dr. Ron Robinson, and, of course, the brothers who came on, Dr. Ronnie, and, of course, our second vice who came on, my sister Rebecca Theodore, who I love to hear her with me, you know, when she's here with me.
Thank you.
We miss her. Well, of course, my darling, and you're still there with us. But, you know, we are running so fast the top of the hour, and I just want to say, you know, a wonderful time we had, our wonderful family got together. But don't feel bad, it's the slice of the pie, because you're going to have your next slice next week, Sunday. And, of course, you know, this is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation. Thanking also, not to forget to thank Sister Joan, our sister from the EWF. And I want to just say to you, what a wonderful evening we had this evening. And what more could I say? Join me again next week, Sunday, same time. And I want to say to you, good night.
Good night, Sister Sadie.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life. out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better.
Gotta get better.